The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
All right, 656-9900, it's hour number two of the Starting Lineup, 99.1, The Sports Animal. October 26th, fresh off the Bama loss, Tennessee. I don't know if you could say they hung with Alabama, but at least they stayed in long enough before they actually got the knockout blow in a 48-17 loss at the hands of the Tide. That's now 14 straight for Alabama, and that is now seven consecutive victories for Alabama at Neyland Stadium, outscoring the Vols by two touchdowns or more in each of those contests. By the way, that had never happened before Saturday's results. We talked about it a little bit last week, and now that it is official, Alabama becomes the first SEC team ever to defeat another SEC opponent at their house, seven consecutive games, winning those contests by two touchdowns or more in each of those games. That's not a stat that you really want to hang your hat on if you're Tennessee. And I'm sure frustration, it goes across the board from a lot of the head coaches down to the players to the assistants and a lot of the staff there with the football program on campus. Jeremy Pruitt, post-game, talked about just where they are in the rivalry, just where they are in matchups against some of the bigger teams, the measuring stick teams in the conference, and in particular, Alabama, a team that some consider to be the Volunteers' rival still to this day in 2020. Give this a listen. This is what Jeremy Pruitt had to say post-game after the Tennessee loss to Alabama, just exactly where the Volunteers are in this annual rivalry with the Crimson Tide.
And I can assure you that the gap is closing. It might not show on the scoreboard today, but the gap is closing. I can assure you that. That's one thing that's frustrating to me, and it's frustrating to our players, okay, is there's times that we've done some really good things, but as a team, whether it's, you know, offense playing really good and the defense playing really good and special teams, we've not put any of that together. And that's what the elite teams in our program and in our conference, that's what they do, okay? They don't have many bad plays. They don't make many mistakes. They make the other team beat them. There's times that we've done that this year, but we've not done it for a whole game, even for the games we've won, right? We've not done that.
Jeremy Pruitt, postgame after the 48-17 loss at the hands of Alabama. So we ask you this morning, after hearing those comments from the Tennessee head football coach, where are you right now on the Volunteers head-to-head with Alabama? And frankly, where do you think Tennessee is right now just in year three under Jeremy Pruitt? 30 games in, the Tennessee coach is at 500. He's now 15-15 since taking over the program three seasons ago. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Want to hear from you this morning. Kaner, I'll start with you. Look, when you've seen the games between Tennessee and Alabama, when you've seen just kind of where the Alabama season ends and where you see Tennessee's season end, you know, this can be taken two different ways. How the gap is closing in recruiting and how the season finishes for both programs and how the gap is closing when they face off against each other every year. But put both of those together with your answer. Kaner, you hear Jeremy say that the gap is closing between Tennessee and Alabama. What are your thoughts when you hear that from Pruitt postgame?
Well, I mean, I agree with him 100% because we all remember we were here whenever Jeremy Pruitt took over the job. So in retrospect to the roster getting better, depth, the quality of play from individual players getting better, I agree with him. It has gotten better. Now, is it to the level of the Georgias, the Alabamas, and Floridas? No. But until that starts translating on over into competing with your rivals, you know, what do we really have to go on? So, you know, from a fan's perspective, you can say, yeah, recruiting's good because recruiting has been good under Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, it has been. Tennessee finished with a top 10 class this past year. It finished with, I think, 15th class in 2019 and then 21st his first year. And so, you know, the recruiting has been good. The individual players have raised their levels. That's been good. The depth, and I mean, it was an absolute train wreck when he got here, and he alluded to that a couple of times. But until Tennessee not only, you know, tries to win these games, but it's just competitive, it hasn't been that since he's been here. So, you know, from a fan's perspective, it's saying, okay, well, we're still not seeing the results. And so I can certainly understand the frustration here in year three from the fan base, without a doubt. So it's kind of twofold. I get what he's saying from a coaching perspective, but still you got to show the results on the field, and the results have just not been there so far.
And that leads to, you know, going back to the first point. Has recruiting improved when you go head-to-head with them on the recruiting trail? Yes, it has. Have you seen Tennessee put forth better results on the football field once those recruits have gotten on the field? Yes, you have. But when it comes to the gap closing, I think even you will admit this when you hear Jeremy Pruitt. Pruitt's mentioning, hey, here's how I see the gap closing, which is what you brought up. It's what I set you up for, and that is factual. That is truth. But then when you hear fans, which a lot of people do, when they watch games on the television, Kaner, a lot of fans just watch the football, right? So a lot of the blame. So who gets the football off the snap? And if the play doesn't work or the play doesn't turn into a positive play, who do you blame?
Quarterback.
The quarterback, of course, because everybody watches the football. So when you hear Jeremy Pruitt say gaps closing between Tennessee and Alabama, if you think of things just one-dimensional, it's, well, I've seen the scoreboard the last couple times you've played Alabama, and it isn't improving. They're blowing you out every time, so that's not factual. There's so much more that goes into the comment than just simply wins and losses against Alabama. What Jeremy Pruitt is saying is that, are things improving a season to season? Yes. Are things improving season to season a win total? Yes. Are things improving on the recruiting trail? Yes. Are you finding better players than what were in-house when these teams got together? That, I think we have to wait and see. I think that I want to wait and see, because if you look at some of the players that Butch Jones had when he was here in Knoxville, I mean, Kaner, a lot of those players that were recruited by Butch, they've gone to the National Football League, and they're starting to show, and they're starting to shine a little bit. We got to wait and see how Jeremy Pruitt turns some of those guys into NFLers once they leave campus as well, which he's going to do, but again, that takes time, and a lot of people just look at Jeremy Pruitt's record at 15-15 through three seasons now, or into the third season of his tenure, and they're already starting to find the negativities and the warts.
Yeah.
After a loss, it's a lot easier, Kaner, you would agree with me on this. It's after a loss to this magnitude against Bama, a rival, it's a lot easier to be like, well, let's find all the negative things that Jeremy Pruitt does wrong. But you have a nice big victory, or you finish the season like you did in 2019 with a come-from-behind win in a bowl game, then it's, well, here are all the positive things we can find about Jeremy Pruitt. It's just the attitude of the situation day by day, kind of where we live as a prisoner of the moment, right?
Yeah, I would agree. And not to try to pile on here, but here's a stat that you just simply can't ignore here in year three. You just can't ignore it. And again, I'll double down. I think from a roster standpoint, from a depth standpoint, from individual play from players, and from a recruiting standpoint, yes, right, it has improved, because it was lower than the low in 2017 where he took over. But here's a stat you can't ignore. Through 30 games, Jeremy Pruitt has twice as many blowout losses of 21 points or more than both Derek Dooley and Butch Jones 30 games into their tenure. Jeremy Pruitt has 12 losses of 21 points or more, whereas Derek Dooley and Butch Jones had only 6 through 30 games. That is an alarming stat, and that is something that, again, sitting from a fan's perspective, it's saying, okay, we hear all this, we're excited about recruiting, we like you, Pruitt, yada, yada, show me the results on the field. And still, when Tennessee loses, it loses badly, and a lot of those losses have come to your rivals in the Floridas, the Georgias, the Alabamas.
Bama, don't go, excuse me, Kaner, don't go anywhere. I want to keep talking about this Bama loss by Tennessee. You got to get a practice report in. You got to get a Tennessee lottery update. Vol fans, is the gap closing between Tennessee and Alabama? What are you seeing? We want to hear from you. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Tyler Ivins and Eric Kane on your Monday morning post-Alabama. You're listening to The Starting Lineup here on your flagship station for the University of Tennessee, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The new AP Top 25 college football poll was released yesterday with a few shakeups in the top 10. Following Clemson and Alabama up top, Ohio State jumped up two spots to number 3. Notre Dame and Georgia each slipped a spot to 4 and 5. From there, it's Oklahoma State at 6, Cincinnati at 7, followed by Texas A&M, Wisconsin, and Florida rounding out the top 10. The Dodgers held off the Rays 4-2 in Game 5 of the Fall Classic to take a 3-2 series lead in the World Series. Clayton Kershaw picked up his second win in the series, allowing 2 runs across 5 2/3 innings. L.A. can clinch the World Series title with one more win, Game 6, Tuesday night at 8 Eastern. The Tennessee Titans trailed by 20 points in the second half at one point, but rattled off 17 unanswered points, setting the stage for Stephen Gostkowski for what should have been a 45-yard game-tying field goal to send the game in overtime.
Snap, set, kick on the way. No good. No good. He missed it wide to the right.
Mike Heath had the call. Titans radio. The Steelers held on to move to 6-0 with a 27-24 win over the Tennessee Titans as the Titans fell for the first time all year. Sunday Night Football saw the Cardinals hand the Seahawks their first loss of the season, 37-34. Overtime thriller. Zane Gonzalez drilled a 48-yard field goal to win the contest. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. Pete Michaels Traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Length. The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
At 656-9900, your phone calls to come. Right here on the starting lineup at Tyler Ivins, at TSL99.1 and at underscore Kaner. He's got a Pulse by Heritage UT practice report. Kaner 48-17. Volunteers now the open date after the loss to Alabama, preparing for a road trip out west, place they don't go that often, and that's Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Unfortunately, Saturday was kind of exactly what we thought it would be overall, as the second-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide wasted a little time with Tennessee, winning 48-17. Alabama racked up nearly 600 yards of total offense, almost doubling the first down totals, possessing the football nearly 10 more minutes than Tennessee did in the contest. Quarterback Mac Jones starred, throwing for 387 yards, nearly 300 of that in the first half, while running back Najee Harris scored a trio of touchdowns. Vols quarterback Jerry Garantano bounced back with two touchdowns and no turnovers on the day, which was big, but obviously it just wasn't enough, as Alabama's offense could nearly score at will against that Tennessee defense. After the game, Jeremy Pruitt very candid with where he thinks the Tennessee gap is in the SEC, as well as where the program is overall following three straight losses. Give this a listen.
Hey, nobody's more disappointed than the people within our program, I can assure you, okay? So, you know, it's the reason that I wanted this job, okay, is because I understood the passion, the energy, the expectations of Tennessee football, okay? When I took the job, I knew exactly where it was at, exactly, okay, which is why I wanted the job, okay? I wanted this job because I wanted to get it to where it's supposed to be. It's a hell of a challenge, and I'm glad I took the job. I'm excited about being here. I'm not discouraged. The people in our program are not discouraged. I know where our program's headed, and we'll get there.
Again, that was Jeremy Pruitt post-game following Alabama's 48-17 win at Neyland Stadium. Now it's the bye week for Tennessee football, a chance to get back and regroup prior to the start of the second half of the season. Jeremy Pruitt said it would be a great time for more young players to get some live looks in practice and allow them to continue to fix their own mistakes. There will not be a normal Monday night press conference today due to the bye week. In fact, Jeremy Pruitt's only going to be meeting with the media on a loaded Wednesday slate of this week, in which it is the bye week. Today's Tennessee football practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now. From design to construction to maintenance, one call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
Kaner, let's get right into it. In a 48-17 loss, quarterback Jarrett Garantano, many people believed that it was going to be his final start in a Tennessee uniform, at least up until now or moving forward. How do you think that Jarrett performed? It was not a lot of eye-popping stats, but in fairness, Jarrett Garantano, if you list problems with Tennessee right now, at least for the Alabama game, I wouldn't put Jarrett Garantano anywhere near the top of the list. Frankly, I don't know if I'd put him anywhere on that list.
No, I mean, it was just so much. I mean, again, I've mentioned it a couple of times. Alabama's offense could literally score whenever it wanted to, however it wanted to, and we saw that. There was no pass rush. Tennessee's defensive backs struggled to keep up with the wide receivers, even without Waddle in that ball game. So, I mean, the problem stemmed defensively, trying to cope with that offense, and offensively a little bit. Too many three and outs. I thought the play calling was very, very, very passive in that football game. But, you know, Jerry Garantano was his final numbers, I mean, they're not eye-popping, but they're 13-24, 162 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. So I would not put him anywhere close to being the reason that Tennessee lost in this football game. The conversation now is, Tyler, and we'll have it over the next 2 weeks. I know we have, or we will, but was Jerry Garantano's performance against Alabama good enough to get him another start, to keep his starting gig over this bye week? Because this is the time to where, if you are going to make a change to your starting quarterback position, whether it's Harrison Bailey, who's gotten hardly any reps so far during his Tennessee career, whether it's Brian Maurer, who came in the fourth quarter for Jerry Garantano, this is the time to where you have two straight weeks to where you could rep that new starter and get him ready for Arkansas. You remember last year when Tennessee did make the change and went away from Garantano and went to Maurer, it was Maurer who benefited from the bye week heading into Georgia when he got that start. So this would be the time to make that change. However, Garantano, again, no turnovers, and when there's no turnover Garantano, that's a Garantano that's usually good enough to keep you in the ball game. It just wasn't the case this week because, again, this was Alabama.
You know, Kaner, a lot of people are talking about youth movement. Harrison Bailey, give me all the young guys. Get ready for the future. What are your thoughts on kind of accelerating the development and Jeremy Pruitt, his thought process, starting 2-0, now 2-3, and if there is ever a time for extra practice, extra time to kind of get the maturing game ready, it is during the open date.
No, it certainly is, and people are wanting to see Harrison Bailey, and I get it. I mean, people want to see Harrison Bailey.
We say youth movement, and it's not any other position. Let's just call it Harrison Bailey movement. Call it what it is.
It is certainly Harrison Bailey, and then maybe two or three receivers, but it's Harrison Bailey, and I understand that. And so, again, like I said during Blank Space, Jeremy Pruitt, and I think his comments after the game would back me up on this. Jeremy Pruitt is coaching to win every single Saturday. He's not looking ahead to next year. He's not looking ahead for youth movement. He wants to get as many wins on this schedule as he can. If that means playing Garantano, if that means playing his older wide receivers, he's going to do that. But this bye week will get a chance for those guys to get more and more reps. Now, you know, the question was asked, do you ever put in a younger player, though he might be more skilled than the older player but might lack the practice reps and the good practice thing, do you put him in there to try to accelerate their progression? And Jeremy Pruitt said he didn't believe in that. You know, whoever practices the best is going to play on Saturdays, and you can respect that. But I'll say this, you know, when Tennessee went down 45-17 with 14 minutes and 54 seconds left in the fourth quarter, there was no excuse for putting Garantano back out there in that game. No excuse for putting those older wide receivers. That's when a Brian Maurer and a Harrison Bailey should have split reps to end that fourth quarter. I don't really understand that. I think they waited way too long to bring in Brian Maurer. The game was well out of reach at that point. Sure. So that is a chance to where you could have got some of those youth movement type players in there to get some more reps. So I don't really understand that. But again, I can respect his thought process on, hey, it don't matter. I don't care who you are, what year you are. If you practice well, you're going to play. And that's kind of been what Jeremy Pruitt's motto has been.
Kaner, we appreciate it. Five burning questions coming up on the other side. Plus, the gap between Tennessee and Alabama. You're going to hear from Jeremy Pruitt again and where you believe this rivalry is and where these programs stand to where they were when Pruitt started the program and where he is now 30 games into his tenure. 99.1. You're listening to the Esports Animal.
Well, so, I mean, I'd call me crazy here.
How dare you? How dare you just assume that I would also include gas when I pick up your lunch as well?
Jeez.
Do I expect to get my boots back while I'm at it? See that you keep borrowing everything from me?
Hey, like I said, I need to go ahead and pay you for those because I have put those things through the ringer. Also, went to a corn maze last night or yesterday evening. Your boots came in handy because there was a little rainfall there Saturday night. So, again, tip of the cap to you and your boots.
So my all-weathered North Face boots that I've let you borrow essentially for 2 years for your football broadcast on Rivalry Thursdays have now turned into the all-weathered North Face boots that you now use for your side game / easy fun time with the girls and the guys and all the people you hang out with on the side.
Yeah, this is the first time I've worn those boots outside of a football game. But like I said, they came in very handy yesterday because it's a little muddy.
All right, side time away now. Five burning questions on your radio. I want to get back to this Jeremy Pruitt comment coming up momentarily about the gap closing between Tennessee and Alabama. Please, Kaner, if you would, please, halfway home here on a Monday.
Head to head, toe to toe, mono a mono. It's time for five burning questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections, saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
How are your ears, Tyler Robbins?
don't just ask me that. Why don't you ask all the listeners this morning,
sorry,
too?
Sorry, everybody. I blew you out there. Hopefully your speakers are all right. All right. Number one, at the bye week, what's the biggest issue with the Tennessee football team right now?
It's the inconsistency still at quarterback. Look, you here's the thing. The reason why you got such, I guess, vanilla play calling from Tennessee on Saturday is because right now you just don't have any trust in your quarterback. So, look, Jarrett Garantano was not the problem for Tennessee on Saturday stats-wise, but Jarrett Garantano was, I guess, still kind of a little bit of the problem for Tennessee because he was starting for the Volunteers in the play calling. You couldn't really flip to the back pages if you were Jim Chaney. So you need a quarterback that you're confident in and that he has confidence that he can beat the team across from him.
You know, for the sake of being different, I will go the secondary. The secondary was supposed to be one of the best parts of the team coming into the season. Derek Ansley, when he met with the media during camp, said the strength of the defense is coming through the secondary. And why not? It's a veteran group. Yes, you're having to replace Warrior back there, but it's all with veteran players. Now, that is a position group that got hit the hardest in quarantine, but we're 5 weeks into the season, and Alabama's Alabama, so I'm not really just staking this on the Alabama game on Saturday, but that secondary, one pick through five games, not great, and really, it's just struggled to cover the slant. It's struggled really all season long, and so I'll say the secondary for sure. Also, just being different from your quarterback take. Number two, be honest. Are you in on this World Series?
I am. Yeah, here's the thing. I'm tired of people referring to Tampa Bay as underdogs, or that's cute that Tampa's made it as far as they had. Look back the last 3 years of Tampa's record overall, the 162-game schedule and this year's 60-game schedule. Tampa Bay is no longer an underdog. Tampa Bay is a good baseball franchise. They will push this to seven games when they win tomorrow night. How can you not love baseball after the finish you got on Friday night for game four? Yeah, I'm all in because who doesn't love seven-game World Series?
Man, I'm a baseball guy. I love baseball. I love everything about it. It's one of my passions. Obviously, I'm a football guy. I play, but I love baseball. I got to be honest with you, though, man, and a lot of this is just simply because how close I came as a fan to getting to that World Series. Literally 3-1. Blew three games to where Atlanta could be in there. I have not watched hardly as much as I thought I would be in this World Series. Typically, I can't take my eyes off it. I'm watching every pitch. I've missed a lot of this World Series. Obviously, I know the storylines. I read the box scores. I'm still a nerd. I know exactly what's going on. But
you're always
going
to be a nerd.
Yeah, totally. But in terms of sitting down and watching pitch by pitch by pitch, I have not seen a whole lot compared to what I usually do. So I guess I would be checked out. And a lot of that has to do with the A. So mix that up, Atlanta. Do the Titans need to make a change at kicker?
No. Look, if this was week two and we were talking about the performance he had in Denver, then yeah, maybe you're questioning the offseason signing of Stephen Gostkowski. Look, it was a 42-yard kick. I know we're used to kickers making those automatically. It just went a little wide right, and it happened in a game against undefeated Pittsburgh. Let's be real. Titans wouldn't be undefeated if it wasn't for Stephen Gostkowski. A change of kicker? Come on. Let's not get ridiculous here.
Yeah, Gostkowski already has three game-winning kicks on the season. I know it was a disastrous start for Gostkowski in his Titans career in Denver week one, but still rebounded, made the game-winning kick in that game as well. This is just, I mean, it's part of being a kicker. Tyler, you talked about being a goat was a bad thing when you were growing up. Well, kickers are either the hero or the goat, and the goat is not in a good way. that just kind of comes with the territory. So I'm going to say no. Again, this was the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week or Player of the Month for September. So I'm going to say no, but obviously it is a little bit frustrating when you had the best team in the AFC record-wise on the ropes going to overtime and you miss a kick. All right, should Mike McCarthy be fired?
Look, Dallas is in a bad spot right now, all right? You can't help the fact that Andy Dalton was gored into the ground yesterday and had to leave due to a concussion. If you wanted to talk about coaching malpractice when Dak Prescott was still healthy, sure, we could talk about that. But I think everybody kind of knew what you were getting out of Mike McCarthy when you hired him in the first place. If an offense wasn't winning the huge game with Aaron Rodgers as your starting quarterback, then you kind of should have known what that offense was going to have when you have a big offense and you can't win a big game with Mike McCarthy as your head coach. I don't think he should be fired, but I think Cowboy fans should already not be surprised with the product they're getting on the field. Just because he changes colors and uniforms doesn't mean that he's not going to coach the same.
Listen, the Cowboys are bad right now. And, you know, all those reports coming out last week about the players being unhappy and saying the coaches don't know what they're doing. You know, play better. Play better. That's such an excuse. Play better. But point is, when with a healthy Dak Prescott, the offense was not the issue. Now there's some questions, obviously, without your franchise quarterback in there. But, you know, Mike McCarthy, it's ugly. It stings. I get it. But, I mean, there's a lot more problems right now with your team that a head coach could fix, especially a first-year head coach. I say give us some time. All right, today is National Tennessee Day. What's your favorite in-person Tennessee football story that you always like to share?
The one I always like to share was the fact that I kept my kid friend, my best friend in middle school, and his dad in the stadium in 1998 for the Arkansas game. I was very lucky to be able to attend every home game of that 98 national championship season, and I got threatened by my friend's dad. Tyler, we've been in the rain all day. You're standing in a puddle. If you don't come down the aisle and we leave, you're not coming to another game. Three plays later, Billy Ratliff, fumble recovery, Sterner fumble. We would have been on the ramp, or we'd have been out in the parking lot heading towards the car had it not been for me. So my anchor, standoffish, I'm not listening to what my best friend and dad says. We were in the stadium for the fumble because of my stubbornness.
Yeah, similar story, middle school, but the year was 04. The starting quarterback, his first start, mind you, at Neyland Stadium, Eric Ainge.
Never heard of him.
James Wohlhuyt, 51 yards to beat Florida. That's a memory I'll never forget. My friend and his dad already head out to the garage to get the car. His mother and I stayed back, saw the game-winning kick. It's something I will never, ever forget.
I love automatic dubs. Win's a win, boys.
Give me dubs.
Win is a win. Yeah, and it's – I'm never not going to rub my friend Cody's dad's face in that incident, or that, I should say, particular night. Because, you know, he wasn't the biggest – he wasn't happy in the first place. Because it all started – the hot dog vendor, I think, was out of ketchup. So he had to eat his dog plain, and he was just like, how do you not have ketchup at Neyland Stadium?
That's way to go.
And, you know, if anybody remembers that game, Arkansas was just controlling the entirety of that game. So we had great seats. He's always had great season tickets, and it was just the frustration of, you know, this is always happens in Tennessee and Arkansas. I don't have to remind anybody of what happened in the Arkansas game and how it transpired and the storylines leading to that game. But, yeah. It was one of the, I would say, probably one of my favorite moments, if not my favorite Tennessee moment in person. Because I'll tell you one thing, there have been a lot of moments when I've been in person as a fan, as a Tennessee fan, that have not gone well. Let me share with you one day about my Tennessee Orange Bowl Nebraska story. Man, I never thought I would meet a more unfriendly fan base than Nebraska fans, and then quickly, I learned about what would happen if Florida and Georgia ever got good again, Georgia in particular. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Final segment, hour number two to get to. Hour three of the program, it's going to include the game and Jeremy Pruitt's comments post-game after Alabama. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
20 seconds to go. Snap. Ball is down. Pick from Gonzalez is up. It looks good. It is good! The Cardinals win it! An incredible finish at State Farm Stadium!
Ryan Radke, Cardinals Radio. It was Zane Gonzalez, a 48-yard field goal in overtime to avenge a previous missed kick in the overtime period for the Cardinals over the Seahawks. Again, 37-34, the final score. Arizona scored 13 points in the last 10 minutes of the ball game and forced overtime, and now Seattle has one loss on the season. Tennessee Titans, once trailing by 20 points in the second half, rattled off 17 unanswered, or Steven Gutzkowski missed what would have been a game-tying 45-yard field goal. Here's Mike Keith calling that miss.
Snap, set, kick on the way. No good. No good. He missed it wide to the right.
Steelers held on to win 27-24, handing Tennessee its first loss of the year. Ryan Tannehill, two touchdowns in the loss. Dodgers held out the Rays 4-2, chance to claim a World Series title with a Game 6 victory on Tuesday at 8 Eastern. Clint Bowyer took on the checkered flag at NASCAR's racing at Texas Motor Speedway yesterday, and Patrick Cantlay had to rally, but did so enough to win the Zozo Championship, one shot under 23 on the weekend. Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. 749, Pete Michaels Traffic is coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Late.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will. 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
All right, final segment to hour number two. We're in, we're out. We give the phone number. That's what radio pros do, 656-9900. Starting lineup for your Monday morning. Alabama, nice little 41-17 victory over Tennessee. Nice for them, not so much here. Actually, now that I'm doing the math in my head, it was 48-17, right? I don't know. I stopped. I kind of tuned out. I was still in front of the television in the fourth quarter.
Easy to tune out.
But I was tuned out. Everything else that was going out. So, excuse me, 48-17. I should know that, especially as a guy who does numbers. Alabama minus 21 at kickoff. Let's get Terrence's phone call in here. Terrence, good morning. You're on the starting lineup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Hey, I just had a few comments, man, I wanted to say about you.
Please.
Coach Pruitt's comments.
Yeah, go ahead, Terrence. What do you got for us, man?
Okay, my fault. I'm sorry. I was going to say, man, I don't think the gap is closed at all. I don't think it's even close. I'm kind of like on the point where it's like, until we can, just some of the things from the game, man, tackling. We can tackle for anything, man. I, for the life of me, I'm like, why do we keep trying to tackle their players up top instead of wrapping up their legs and taking the legs out? Our secondary, we need faster athletes, man. It's like every single play, the wide receiver has so much separation from our DB. By the time the ball gets there, our DB's trailing, and then they go in to tackle him. When we should be there already with a hand, you know, ready to knock it down or even get a pass interference call where you're wrapping them with your right arm or something like that. You never see that with Tennessee's cornerbacks. The linebacker position, the Crouch kid, man, I mean, dude, I think he's about as slow as Christmas, man. I don't get it, man, how – we have linebackers that can't go from side to side. Besides Henry T, how do we not have linebackers that can't go sideline to sideline? The three kids that came from Memphis that were so highly touted, like, where are they at? You know, when are we going to see them play? The whole thing with the youth movement, I don't really care about Harrison Bailey right now, man. I'd like to see Brian Moyer. I think when he came in the game, it seemed like the team had more juice. It seemed like people were more lively. When he gets pressure, he rolls out, you know, he throws the ball quickly, gets it out of his hands. I don't see why what is he doing in practice that he's not doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the problem with him not getting on the field?
He's been hurt. He's been hurt most of camp, but
Mowers hamstring.
I know he's been hurt, man, but I'm just saying the few times that he does get in the game, he shows flashes. Now, yeah, he turned the ball over. He's kind of a loose cannon or whatever. But he shows flashes, man. He gives the team more juice and more energy. I like how he gets the ball out quick and how he rolls out when he's under pressure. With Garantano, man, I'm not here to, like, bash Garantano, man. It is what it is with him. But I'm just kind of like, I don't understand why Chaney doesn't – or somebody on that sideline say, if your first two looks aren't open, take off. The two times he ran in the Alabama game were for positive gains. He looked good running. You know what I'm saying? Like, why don't we ever do that? And if that makes the linebackers have to come up and account for him, so now they can't just back out, drop back in coverage, you know what I'm saying, double teaming and blanketing our wide receivers. I mean, if we can see this and I'm not making millions of dollars, how come somebody on that sideline can't see that and say to him, JG, man, take off with it. Get that first those 3 or 4 yards so that the third down is more manageable.
You know what, Terrence, let's get to some of those questions with answers coming up in the hour number three of the program.
Yeah, good call, man.
Good call. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. A lot what Terrence said is going to carry over to the hour number three conversation. You know, things didn't go well for you when Henry To'oto'o didn't even have the strongest day during his tenure at the University of Tennessee. All that, the game, start, bitch, cut, and more. Hour three of TSL next, 99.1, The Sports Animal.